This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. If you hadn't looked outside, it's starting to rain, but it's still really nice and warm for a December week. And I want to let you know that the first part of this show is brought to you by Blue Restaurant and Bar, located in the Jackson Heights Plaza. And they have something for everyone on their menu, from steaks, fresh seafood, pastas, salads, appetizers, and special items that are unique to Blue. They have six items for lunch at just $6. And enjoy their Sunday live jazz brunch beginning at 10 a.m. with music from Larry Pinkerton and Avant Lane. Whether it's enjoying the courtyard at dinner, the game on the big screen TVs, or piano music Friday and Saturday evenings, there's something for everyone at Blue. Blue Restaurant and Bar, located in the Jackson Heights Plaza, and be sure to visit their website at blue-restaurant.com. That's Blue Restaurant and Bar, owners Marty Brown and Greg Pogue. And I have special guest on today, one of my favorite people in the whole wide world. And Judge Mark Rogers, I was thinking this morning before I came up here, because I'm just so glad that you were going to be on here again with me. And I was watching a movie about 3 or 4 weeks ago that reminded me of you. Same last name and everything, same demeanor, same logic. And Will Rogers.
Wow, what a story. I'm honored. That makes me
excited. He has to be related to you, because the way that he was able to, all the things that were going wrong around him, he was still head and shoulders above everybody else and able to put everybody on the right track. And when everybody was panicking and all the things that were going on wrong in the 30s and those particular times, he had something to say to make people feel good about themselves and where they were going to go. And I think sometimes in this day, we're maybe missing those type of attributes. But you have them. And you not only have them in your daily life, but you have them when you're in the courtroom.
Well, that's kind of you, Truman. You know, I went on a what you call a Route 66 road trip a couple of years ago and drove through Tulsa, Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And while I was on doing that, realized Will Rogers was born in that area,
yeah,
and went by the Will Rogers Museum. It is unbelievable. It's so interesting you brought that up, because it's probably my all-time favorite museum I've ever been to. And when you go there and tour the facility, you realize for his time, he was the star.
He was
the absolute star, and quite a gifted human being. Good man.
And because of the way he looked on life, they were actually trying to get him to run for president of the United States.
I did not know that.
Yes, they were. And there was an upswell, because he brought such confidence in the people. And I don't know. It's just something, the way that you deal with things. And I have seen you do that both personally and especially in the courtroom. And to be able to kind of solve a lot of problems when you're dealing with two different sides and all those type things, but you've been able to do it, and I want to let you know that I know the people in Cannon County are very proud of you, and the people in the eastern part of Rutherford County that have known you most of their lives are very proud of you.
Having grown up in Readville, I got the best of both worlds, because I worked as in high school at the grocery stores in Woodbury, mm-hmm, in Cannon County. My sister-in-law, Myrna Smithson's father, Coy Smithson, mm-hmm, gave me a job up there. It's now the Piggly Wiggly store.
Oh,
still
yeah,
going on. Arna, yeah, Smithson, just a fine family. Mm-hmm. But gave me a job, and then I also had the other side of living in Readville and going to school at Kittrell. You and I have talked about that a many time, and it was a good background for a life. You and I were talking before we started today about Martha Moon Holmes,
mm-hmm,
and you mentioned you remembered Henry Holmes.
Remember him well, because he gave Mike and I our first loan when we bought a farm over at Peaks Hill at Readville.
That's amazing.
And we did not ask him. He came up and volunteered, because back in those days, more than they are now, the families kind of were joined together.
People picked their neighbors, didn't they?
They did pick their neighbors, but you knew the history of just about everybody who lived in those areas back then, and you had confidence in them. You just had a strong bond.
It's interesting you said he helped loan you money, because if you saw Mr. Henry, you would thought he had no money on him whatsoever.
Never wanted anybody to think he did.
Worked ran a gas station there at Kittrell, at Readville. And I used to go in there, and he had his wife, Martha, always was told that her dad was a doctor Moon, mm-hmm. but he had a box back in one of those rooms, mm-hmm. and he would let us kids run around his gas station or garage, like whatever you might call it, and we would go back there and dare each other to open that box, and when you did, there was a skeleton hanging up, and it didn't take us long to run, but it was a good memory, and he had to have a good heart to allow children to do something like that. Just to take over his garage, and he was aggravated. He had other things to do, but we've lost some of that.
Yeah, and you go through there now, and I visit Readville quite often, and you still have a lot of the same folks that still live there.
Sure do.
And you have, of course, Miss Rachel Wood, who I just absolutely love to death. Spent many a night in her home when I was a kid, reading comic books and swapping comic books and doing things like that. It was just such a great place. Tommy and I were the same age.
Well, you remember the Woods girls playing basketball?
Oh, yes.
Jean and Mary, they were quite
and
the
every
player.
One of them was absolutely gorgeous.
Yes,
they really were.
They sure were.
Now, but you go up to the square in Woodbury. And Woodbury still has a lot the same buildings, but they don't seem to have, copied Murfreesboro, where Murfreesboro has kind of put a new face on the downtown area.
They've always worked in Cannon County to try to get funds and new industry and whatnot. It's just been a difficult haul. And as you know, a lot of folks in Cannon County relied on the industrial plants that we used to have here in Rutherford County that have all moved. Some of General Electric, Samsonite, some of those were big employers. And they're continuing to work on trying to get their tax base up and an ability to have more. I know there's been interest in trying to make the community a little bit more of a travel destination for tourists. And they've worked on that with some success, but these financial times have made that quite difficult a little bit.
Yeah, and you think with John Bragg Highway, that's the main length between Murfreesboro and Woodbury, you think that would be a beginning of seeing some major changes in Cannon
County. I think that's what Representative Bragg intended to do.
I think he did,
too. Open that up, and that highway sure has improved the ability to get to and from.
He had a special place in his heart for Cannon County.
He sure did. You know, his family had a long and deep history of family members from Cannon County, and then they owned the Couyer, and Judge David Bragg and his brother Tommy, our mayor, they owned and operated the Couyer for a long period of time. And then Andy Bryson had the Couyer and did a great job with it, and now Ron Fryer has the Couyer. In fact, they're having their, I don't know if we're supposed to announce they're having their Christmas lunch, but I'm sure going to go.
Well, he's going to be on Ron, and Dan Whittle will be on our show tomorrow, so I presume that they're going to say something about it, but I'm
Whittle
looking forward
here, you're going
to
have a handful.
I always have a handful. And speaking of handfuls, how are the courts going right now?
Good. Everything's, we really have a good judiciary, I think, at this stage in our community, and everyone works well together, from the General Sessions judges and juvenile court judge all the way up through the circuit judges and the Chancery Court. It seems like, I think, there's a spirit of cooperation, and maybe it's just the times we're in, but you see judges whenever they have the opportunity, if they've completed their docket, to help with another docket so the citizens can get their cases heard. I brought some statistical information with me to let you know a little bit, and your listeners, in the year ended in June 30th, 2011, that one-year period, we had a total of Chancery Court filings of around 3,200, almost 3,300 cases, and 3,100 were disposed of, and that's a system where it won't start today and be over tomorrow, but it keeps the process going. And then over in Circuit Court, we had 2,400 filings, and we had about 2,300 dispositions. And so the flow seems to be going well with the dockets. And if you have a case and want to get it heard in Rutherford County and Cannon County, you certainly can do that. The criminal court docket had 6,200 cases filed, and there's been about 63 300 disposed of. And as you know from the criminal dockets, a lot of times there's multiple counts of multiple mm-hmm. charges, but the court system seems to be working well, and the individuals involved are certainly working together, and that's a good thing for our community. I don't think anyone who has a case that wants to get a trial, jury or otherwise, can't get it done within a very short period of time, other than the discovery process that it takes to prepare and get a case ready. And as you know, that can sometimes take longer than anyone would like. But you can move
what you're
through
saying
the
is remarkable, because you guys are doing a tremendous job as far as being able to get that amount of caseload through your court. Because anybody that's ever been in a courtroom knows that can be a complicated issue, trying to get all the evidence before the judge and where that you can actually make a decision on it.
We're very fortunate in Rutherford County that our county leaders have saw reason to allow each judge to have a law clerk, mm-hmm. and we have court officers that are available, and so the process works because of the system that we put in place, and especially with the law clerks. Nick Christensen is working for me this year. He just finished law school at the University of Memphis School of Law, and I bet you remember his grandfather used to run and own a theater here in town, the one over behind Roses, the mm-hmm. Christensen family,
mm-hmm.
and
right.
Doing a good job, and that goes across the board. Each judge has a law clerk that they're able to use for a period of a year. Really helps the system, helps us stay on top of what the law is on each case, because mm-hmm. you get so many different things coming that sometimes it's hard to be good at it all, so you have to kind of prepare and work to make sure, and especially with the lawyers, our bar association here is extremely good. We have a good bar.
A lot of people don't know the difference between general sessions and circuit courts. General sessions is primarily where you go and you initiate your court dealings, and criminally, usually they handle mostly misdemeanors. But then if they deem it to be needed to be passed on, yours is the next court
right.
up.
It's bound over
the
circuit court
right.
role. And we have a circuit court civil docket and a circuit court criminal docket, mm-hmm. and then we have the chancery court. The general sessions judges, I didn't bring their numbers, but I'm sure
they're huge. I've seen them.
Judge Lowry and Judge McFarland and Judge Brandon all work together really well to make that docket go, and it is very effective. The number of cases they handle alone is staggering. Each of them are very, very capable jurists and very devoted to what they do, and they're good to the people that I hear good things. They're good to the people that come before them. Usually that's the introduction to our court system is mm-hmm. the General Sessions court system.
And they do. You're right. They do a tremendous job. And in fact, I was having lunch over at City Cafe the other day, and Judge David Lowry was in there, and he was wore out. And this was at lunchtime,
right?
And he had already gone through a couple of hundred cases. And people think about that. How in the world can you go up there? Because there's so many things that you have to do to
right.
even pass it on. And it's almost like there's some type of magic going on over there.
And to be able to touch each individual who appears in front of you and show them courtesy and kindness, and yet what you have to do as a judge sometimes is a compliment to all three of those gentlemen, how well they do. And last week, I understand you had Diana Benson Burns on before you.
Oh, what a great lady.
Didn't she
really was. Comes from a tremendous family, and they did. She had three or four calls from family members that called in, and I was so proud of her. I was so tickled that you had her come on my show.
She's a wonderful person. When that position was created, we did not have a magistrate or a referee for child support for a number of years, and when that was created a few years ago, the fellow judges got together, and we went through an interview process, opened it up to all members of the bar, and had attorneys apply from outside our bar, and all extremely qualified. But it was the consensus after we did the interview and went through the process of selection that Diana Burns be the child support referee, and she has just done a wonderful job. It's in fact, the Administrative Office of the Courts, which is our governing body for judges all across the state, called and asked her to go and appear as a magistrate over in Columbia and mm-hmm. Fayetteville and certain areas of the state where they had a little backlog and needed some help. And it was that's a compliment to her and her ability. And I know she was enjoyable appearing before.
Oh, she really was, both on and off the air. She was so much fun. And you talk about people like Diana that come in her role. I can't see how it would have been possible without her and some of the other attorneys that have gone into Rose to support the judges. Your backlog would have to be unbelievable.
We have a strong bar association. Tommy Santel is our current president. He's with what I used to always call Murphy Cope, but now it's the Cope Law Firm, Cope Hudson and others.
Is Matt retired?
No, Matt and his son started their own practice together.
I didn't know that.
And it's a very fine individual. They have a special area that they practice in. And yeah, Matt's he and his son are doing well, always have and always will. But yes, they separated their law firm that they'd had for a number of years as Murphy Cope.
That's amazing.
Right.
You can go back 30-something years or more.
Sure could. And Matt was the attorney for a long period of time. Was he the county attorney?
Yes, he was a county commissioner.
County commissioner, too. Yeah, that's right, county commissioner. And then Smith and Sellers. Mr. Sellers was a county attorney during his service on the county commission. And
for
then,
a long
and
time.
And then Jim Cope, and who's done a great job in that position.
Yeah, we've been very fortunate to have that type of representation here. Going through the court system can be extremely expensive for everybody. And are there ways or are there avenues where people who cannot afford an attorney and they're having some particular problems, what do they do?
Well, I'm so glad you brought that up. The Janice Holder, who recently was our Chief Justice for the Tennessee Supreme Court during the period that she served in that capacity, began a real push on opening what they call access to the courts and opening up the courts to individuals who simply could not afford to appear in front of a judge or a jury for that matter, and try to make it a less threatening process or a process that you could at least walk through. And with the advent of computers and the system technology that we have now, they've really changed some things to make where an individual can represent him or herself before the court with some success. Now, I always tell people you need a lawyer, and because I liken it to going to a hospital operating room and having surgery, you'd hire a doctor. I think the court system, you really need, if you can afford an attorney, to have one. The Bar Association, in response to that call, has stepped forward, and at Greenhouse Ministries, it's located at 309 South Spring Street here in Murfreesboro. Greenhouse Ministries, on Thursday evenings from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. or Thursday afternoon each week, unless it's the holiday times, lawyers from our bar donate their time free to go and meet with any individual who might have a question about some legal matter they're involved in and obtain some advice and also some information about how to proceed when they appear before the court. Criminal cases, because of our constitutional safeguards, we can appoint lawyers, and the state pays for some of that to some extent, both at the general sessions level and at the criminal or circuit court level. But on civil matters, where there might be a housing dispute or a dispute domestic-wise, very difficult to find lawyers that we can appoint because there's no funds for the service, so you try to have attorneys that step forward on a pro bono basis, and our bar has really done that. And individuals can go to Greenhouse Ministries and get free help on Thursdays from 4 to 6 every week. It's a wonderful opportunity, especially if you just don't have the funds to pay and secure legal services. And then we still have the legal services available that have been active in our community here for a number of years. But they've had so much cutbacks with the financial situation we find our country in that it's been more difficult for them to service people. They usually represent individuals in domestic cases who have been involved in acts of abuse and children involved. They had to prioritize where they would give their free services. And lawyers, I think each and every day in their own offices help people. It never hurts, even if you don't feel like you could hire a lawyer for a full case, at least pay for a one-hour consultation and just get a little advice about what the problem is. And lawyers are willing to do that.
Unfortunately, you kind of relate that a little bit to the medical industry, where hospitals and doctors will take indigents in and make sure that they do get the health care that they need. And in many cases, the legal problems are just as they mean just as much to the individuals, even though that they really don't have the funds to hire somebody, and
probably as devastating as the medical conditions are, because of if you've got a legal problem and can't get it addressed, it just continues to build and build, as you know.
Well, what's the old saying? A lawyer who represents himself in court is represented by a fool.
That's exactly
I think I remember that.
And that's sure true, too.
All right. You as a judge, and I know how you are, you're extremely open-minded, and you try to weigh all the circumstances. If a person is going before you and you know he cannot afford an attorney and he's representing himself, and doing it to the best of his ability, he or she has researched all that they can on that particular case that they're working on. Do you try to give that, or can you give that person advice during the course of the trial?
That brings up an old story about a judge, and I'm not going to say it like it should be said, but where a judge was involved and the other party had a lawyer, and the judge kept asking the questions, and the lawyer objected to the judge asking the question, and the judge was somewhat perplexed, and the lawyer said, "Well, Judge, if I'm going to lose, I want to make sure I get my objections preserved for the record." Mm-hmm. And it's really a hard part for a judge when there's an individual that represents himself or herself and the other party is represented by an attorney, because you have to be fair and impartial to both sides, and yet you've got one party that's represented by an attorney who's trained and knowledgeable about the law, mm-hmm. and the other party who may not be. That's why we encourage people when you appear before court to at least prepare as much as you can about court procedure, how you're to stand and when you address the judge or the court, and how you're to make an objection and have a reason for your objection based in law. But the court's duty is to be fair and impartial, and that's the unfortunate part. Judges really are not there to give advice, mm-hmm. Because it's not fair to the other party. A judge becomes an advocate, and you can't do that as a judge. You have to be free of any bias and be totally impartial.
Well, the law can be extremely complicated, and the history of the law can be complicated, and I have seen over the years that cases have come up that we were involved in that old law that nobody had ever heard of, maybe in the late 1800s or early 1900s, there's a law in the book that nobody even knew existed, and yet some eager attorney has gone back and done his research and has found it. How in the world can you rule on something like that if it's going to impact something directly?
You know, our country and our legal system is based a lot on precedent. Mm-hmm. We follow what's been before us, and some of that can be harsh, but oftentimes it offers stability and clarity, and the law needs to have some basic premise that people have an expectation when they appear before a court of what the rules are. Mm-hmm. And we all live by a society of rules. Now, the great thing is our law allows flexibility, and the appellate process especially, if you preserve the record, that is, have a court reporter or prepare a record where an appellate court can give a review, and one that makes sense, not just a bunch of documents thrown at them, but a prepared case, law can be changed. But you're exactly right, and it amazes me, Truman, how often that goes back to the preparation factor, how often we all think we know what the law is till someone opens up a book from 100 years before and finds out the law was completely different than what we all thought it should be.
Can you tell, and of course we're not going to get into different attorneys or anything like that, but can you tell when an attorney goes before you if that individual attorney has done his homework and prepared like he should have?
I can tell to some extent simply because I practiced law for 30 years, mm-hmm. and I myself knew when I wasn't ready. Mm-hmm. And it's a devastating for an attorney to be in court and realize I should have done a little more to prepare for this. Mm-hmm. But our bar, quite frankly, is a very, very, they're advocates. They work hard. And I think that the strength of a good bar is that it makes it difficult for someone who's not an aggressive attorney not willing to prepare to do well in the community. They have to prepare with our bar, or you'll be outdone, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And we've all been there. I don't think anyone who's ever been a lawyer in practicing law before our courts has not at one time or another wished they had done more. Mm-hmm. But that's the whole idea of preparation. That's what they teach you in law school. It's much like the real estate location. Well, in law, mm-hmm. it's preparation. And if one prepares, the court then has a real good handle on what the issues are. Because both lawyers, that's the great thing about the advocacy system, mm-hmm. you can bring out the strengths and weaknesses of the arguments on both sides, mm-hmm. and a decision can be made.
Do you think that sometimes our laws are passed kind of a reaction more than a lot of deep thought goes in? Because we have so many laws on the book right now that challenge almost everything from the way that you live your life to whatever. And it's almost to me, and I know how you are, it's almost like sometimes governmental intervention in people's private lives. And you know, that has to be difficult for each judge as he listens to each case.
I think all laws, I think, start with a rational basis, and people are trying to do. I think the folks that we elect mm-hmm. To represent us in our legislature, they're trying to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. They want the law to be helpful. But it's the law of unintended consequences. It often happens that things come from a law that got passed that we all thought was a good law till, mm-hmm. Especially you find that in the domestic relations field with visitation issues and custody issues. Our court systems today are dealing with matters involving whether grandparents can see their grandchildren, mm-hmm. or fathers and mothers that choose to go into different professions. Move far mm-hmm. away, and the strength of the family network. And so I truly believe all laws are intended well. Often it doesn't work in practice, and so they have to be reexamined and reevaluated and repositioned, so to speak. And that's an ongoing process. I do agree with you that many laws have been passed over the years that in the light of our current day don't seem as relevant as they did at one mm-hmm. time. But that's just the way our country moves and our developing process.
Of course, a lot of it stems from pressure groups where something has happened in their family that they've become emotional about, whether it would be a family thing. Of course, we know all about MAD and some of the others. And then we know about the things, the animal rights groups. Do you feel like in some of those cases, maybe we may have need a little bit more common sense approach to some of it, rather than just this is what we want to do, this needs to be done right now, and we're going to change law that hasn't been on the books for 200 years?
Well, you know, judges are not allowed to really be proactive.
I shouldn't have asked you
no,
that.
No, I know we're not to be proactive, but I'm reminded in discussing this with you, I just tried a jury trial over in Williamson County. They had a judge that was promoted to the Court of Criminal Appeals, and they had a little backlog, and I went over and tried a jury trial for their for the Williamson County Circuit Court mm-hmm. last week for a couple of days, and I'm just reminded that what happens is every case should rise and fall on its own merits, mm-hmm. and it is amazing how the input from all the organizations you mentioned help make changes in the law. Mm-hmm. And that's the evolving process of it that allows us to get better rather than go the other way with our legal system.
Now, everything has to be done well above board when you're a judge.
Exactly.
And there are cases that come up that could put you in a compromising position. So it's not unusual for judges to recuse themselves, basically take themselves off the bench when a certain case is coming up that may involve somebody that you had before or whatever. What are the circumstances? Kind of give us a brief idea why a judge would recuse himself for a certain case.
Well, some are real easy. Mm-hmm. I had a 30-year law practice, and so there were a lot of folks I represented. Mm-hmm. It's not fair for me to hear a case right. they're involved in. So mm-hmm. if it was a former client or a client of your law firm that you had a relationship with, mm-hmm. And then some are by statute. There's some certain degree of kinship that mm-hmm. judges shouldn't hear cases involving family members, which is what you said a moment ago, common sense. It reminds me, one of our jury instructions says, ladies and gentlemen, you're not to leave your common sense at the door. And there is some appropriateness in that. And then there are cases where if a judge feels like in any way that he can't be or she can't be impartial, they need to withdraw. And fortunately, in our system, we have so many judges that are available to help each other mm-hmm. that usually we don't have to go outside our judicial district. If one of the judges here has to recuse himself or herself, then there's another judge that can step forward and do it. Every now and then, it's just best to find someone from outside the county. And usually it's commenced by someone asking a judge to recuse himself or herself. And then sometimes it's on the judge's initiative on their own.
Now, when a criminal case is going on and it comes time for a jury, we're going to take a quick break before we get into that, because that's something I really wanted to hit on. This portion of the show is brought to you by Pirtle and Howerton Automotive, and everyone knows they're in Shebaville, Tennessee. It's 2006 North Main Street, and that's just before you get into downtown Shebaville. It's on your left, and if you're looking for Ford, Mercury, Chevrolet, Buick, or GMC, take a ride. It's about 20 minutes, and of course, you can also call them before you leave. It's 1-800-264-6800, toll-free. And you can even pull it up on the internet, PirtleHowerton.com. And you can go there, go in, not talk to the nice people. It'd be a good day to go, actually, with it raining. Go in, sit inside, have a cup of coffee with them, let them make you some hot chocolate, discuss what your needs are, and I'll guarantee you they'll solve your problem for you.
HGTV, the leader in home design and know-how, has joined Shaw Floors, the leader in flooring and city tile and floor covering, the largest flooring retailer in our area, to bring you HGTV Home Flooring by Shaw Collection. Doug Young with City Tile.
Come to City Tile and see the new selections of the HGTV products exclusively at City Tile.
Your HGTV Home Flooring by Shaw authorized retailer. Visit citytile.net. City Tile and Floor Covering.
Self-storage has never been so convenient. Thanks to Zippy Shell, providing self-storage and moving solutions right to your front door. We deliver, you pack it, we pick it up and store it. Our units are secure, convenient, and best of all, they're just as affordable as traditional ones. Zippy Shell, call us today for a free estimate.
Call locally owned Zippy Shell today, 216-7879. That's 216-7879.
This is Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by the Rutherford Home Show, Saturday mornings at 11:30 on WGNS, the Omni Hut Restaurant in Smyrna, and AmeriCare Pest Control.
This is Dean Higby with South Branch Nursery. Join us Saturdays, 11:30 to 12:30 on the Rutherford Home Show, presented by Old South Properties.
This is Josh at South Branch Nursery, your full-service, one-stop garden center open to everyone. Right now, we have both cut and live Christmas trees, live wreaths and roping, and lots of other holiday decor.
South Branch Nursery, located at Barfield Road and South Church Street, 893-4030, or on the web at southbranchnursery.com.
What's happening this coming weekend? The Murfreesboro Rotary Club's annual Pancake Breakfast is this coming Saturday morning over at Middle Tennessee Christian School. That'll be from 7 in the morning until 10:30. Live music, Santa will be there, and some great fellowship. That's 7 until 10:30 this Saturday morning, the Murfreesboro Rotary Club's annual Pancake Breakfast at Middle Tennessee Christian School on Memorial, right across from Reeves Sane Drugstore. The 30th annual Bethlehem Marketplace wraps up this Saturday and Sunday from 1 to 5 at Southeast Baptist Church. You'll have a chance to walk the streets of Bethlehem the day after Christ was born. And it's all free. That's this Saturday and Sunday from 1 to 5 at Southeast Baptist Church, 708 Minerva Drive. Cannonsburg Pioneer Village is decked out for the Christmas season with beautiful lights this coming Saturday evening from 6 until 9. It's all free, a service of the Murfreesboro Parks and Recreation Department. Hay rides, hot apple cider, and even Santa will be there. That's 6 until 9 this Saturday night at Cannonsburg. And remember, the Bicentennial Christmas Parade is 2 o'clock Sunday.
Hello, this is Truman Jones. We have a new sponsor and one that you're going to be delighted with. It's National Healthcare, National Healthcare Corporation right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And this is where life is celebrated. Discover a different kind of care, one that ensures that you're surrounded by people who make a difference in your life. In 11 states, patients and residents feel right at home at National Healthcare Corporation's more than 130 affiliated healthcare centers and home care offices. Their family of facilities delivers exceptional rehabilitative, skilled nursing, and extended care in locations that are close to home and family. In line with their longtime commitment to provide a continuum of care to those who need their services at any age. And want to let you know that this is a local business started here, even though it's pretty much all through the Southeast. National Healthcare, Murfreesboro, where life is celebrated.
Weather-eye. Mainly cloudy this afternoon with areas of rain, heavy at times. Temperatures hold fairly steady. Cloudy tonight with more rain, low 42. Chance of showers on Tuesday. I'm WGNS meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now it's 57 degrees.
Lay it up, Gans Sports!
25 to 50% off. A new shipment of scratch and dent fitness equipment is in at Play It Again Sports on North Thompson Lane. Exercise bikes, ellipticals, treadmills, and more. 25 to 50% off. Save now before the deals are gone.
He knows Rutherford County, and he knows the people of Rutherford County. Truman Jones, here on WGNS, AM and FM.
And welcome back with us. We'll let you know that the portion of this show is brought to you by Stan McNabb Automotive. And they provide quality vehicles from Chevrolet, Dodge, Jeep, Ford, and Cadillac to the Murfreesboro, McMinnville, and Shevel, Tennessee area. You know my Aunt Nancy, don't you?
I do.
Of course, we all grew up on that side of Rutherford County.
Sure did.
And so did Stan.
She taught at Kitchell for years.
She did, and Oakland. She took care of the kids no matter where she went.
Fine lady.
Yes. And at Stan's, their large selection ensures that they have a vehicle for everyone no matter what it is you're looking for. And for a quality used car in Tullahoma, visit their dealership located at 2000 North Jackson Street. They have a large inventory of pre-owned cars, trucks, SUVs, and minivans to select from. At Stan McNabb Automotive, they pride themselves in the quality that they offer on all of their used cars, which makes them a major destination for used vehicles. And only at Stan McNabb's can you get free oil changes and free tires for the life of that vehicle. I think the direction I was going, Mark, before I interrupted myself, was that a large makeup of especially a murder trial or something of that major consequence, one of the biggest parts of that is selecting jurors. And that's not a place that a lot of individuals like to be. I've talked to a number of them over the years. I've had to call them in. In fact, I can remember when the judges would send out an order to me, go out on the street and pick a bunch of people and get them in here by such and such time. And we would have to go out and snatch these people off the square or wherever we could find them, and then they would come in. How do you sift through that and have those people up there and qualify them, and how much responsibility do they have?
Well, you know, I tell jurors when they appear that they are going to be citizen judges. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how you can say it more succinctly. They are mm-hmm. literally judges of the facts. Mm-hmm. They have to follow the law that's given to them, whether they want to or not, is the way the jury instruction reads. But they are truly citizen judges. And it's the highest calling I think you can have in the community, other than serving your country in the military, serving in times of war, and voting, which I think is very important for all of us to do. Mm-hmm. Our government really doesn't ask a whole lot of us in terms of mm-hmm. giving back to the country. And, you know, we all pay our taxes and carry on with our daily lives. But the probably the most intrusive thing that we have from our government is jury service, and that is you're called upon to come and make a decision in a case that you didn't want to be involved in and did not want to have any input in. But our system of our judicial system could not work without the strength of our jury, both in criminal and in civil. Our circuit court clerk's office goes to great extent siphoning through the documentation. You know, you have to be 18 years of age, lived in the county for a year, 12 months consecutive, not having been convicted of any prior criminal act that would make it where you couldn't serve on a jury. And what we do in Rutherford County on the first first Monday of a full week each month, we bring in prospective jurors, and the presiding judge, at this time it's David Bragg, the presiding judge meets with all those jurors, goes over their service for that month, and then they're required to come in and serve for a month. The real service is on the grand jury. If you get selected for the grand jury, which, as you know, deals with the criminal charges that have come up from General Sessions Court or maybe have been brought directly to the grand jury, they do not make a determination of guilt or innocence, but whether or not there's enough evidence there to have someone stand for trial. The grand jury meets for 2 to 3 days during the first week of each month, and their service is completed. And then jurors that are called for civil or criminal trials are serving for a full month, and they call in each day after 4:30 to the clerk's offices, and they get a recording telling whether or not they're to report. It is so important they come. It's so important they participate. And then the lawyers have an opportunity, both on the defense and for the plaintiff, or in the case of a criminal case, the defense and the state, to ask questions and go through their qualifications. An interesting thing that's happened in our legal system in the recent years, we had a number of exemptions that were automatically granted to certain classes of groups. As you know, if you were a doctor, you didn't have to come for jury service. If you were a teacher or if you were a nurse, there were certain automatic exemptions. Now those have been wiped off, and they did that so we would have more of a cross-section of our populace to serve. And now the exemptions are very, very rare, if not few at all. Last week when I was trying the jury trial in Williamson County, we had 3 female physicians that appeared for jury service, and in fact, 1 male physician who actually was selected and served on the jury. So that's a new day for me to see physicians, doctors in jury trials as jurors, and I think we're going to see more of that now where the whole populace is going to be asked to give. And I hope that jury service is a good thing for individuals. The judges, I know, really work hard to make it so. We start court on time. The trains run on time. The worst thing that people hate, they come up for jury service and they're stuck in a room all day, don't know what's going on. We all try to avoid that at all cost. And we go home at a certain hour so that they can have their evening hours to do whatever they might need with their own families and businesses and professions.
You know, I have talked to people at great length a lot of times about the responsibilities of being a juror. And as you were saying about the grand jury is one of the more interesting places to be because you get to hear so many different cases as they come up. And, of course, you're just listening to the prosecution end anyway.
Right.
But the power of the grand jury is enormous because they also have investigative powers.
They sure do.
And it's something that's brought, and it's all done in a kind of a clandestine type atmosphere, and they can hear all of these complaints that people want to make before them, and they can take it upon themselves to make sure that an investigation is initiated on that particular process.
The grand jury is exactly what you said, a very powerful body, and it sits with enormous authority to make and do things that often are not pursued by the grand jury, and probably correctly so, but it is awesome how much power is vested in the grand jury to make sure certain things are looked into and inquired of. And it's also a good thing that I think the strength of our judicial system, oftentimes there's some controversy about jury trials and expense, et cetera, but I think it's the bulwark of our democracy that we have a right to go to court and have a jury of 12 people decide whether or not we should recover or not recover, mm-hmm. or whether we should go serve time in jail or not serve time in jail. It's an awesome system, and very fortunate to have that in our country.
You know, a great deal of effort is put by you as judges and everybody else, and especially when the judges have a particular tough trial going on, to make sure that everybody's rights are protected. And that's part of the jury process, because once you are selected as a juror, and this is going to be one that's going to last a few days, and you may be sequestered, then you're going to be staying away from home. And, of course, everything is made available to you. I mean, the family's able to bring your clothes and all the things that you would normally need. But you're kind of put in a room away from everybody else. When you're in a room, you're not supposed to watch certain things on TV, and no one's supposed to come up and talk to you and those type things. So you're protected during the whole time that you're a juror. But I've had some jurors say how much they enjoyed the process, and I know you're one of the judges that they have responded to in a very positive way. And in fact, just about all the judges in Rutherford County, they have had high marks for how they were able to handle the jury and make sure that their stay was as comfortable as possible, and also as informed as much as they could be to be able to make a vote is where an individual is guilty or innocent.
Well, you know, Truman, you talk about that in sequestration of jurors, and that's in the criminal side. A few years ago, I had a medical malpractice trial, and it lasted for over 30 days, almost 5 weeks. And the same jurors sat on that jury every day for 5 weeks and came. They became such good friends at the conclusion they actually had made some little coke holders that they all had about how long they had served. It's remarkable what people will do when asked and given an opportunity to serve their community. And it is a very difficult thing, especially in the criminal context you just mentioned, to know that when you go up for this trial, you're not going to go home until the trial is completed, and it's going to take a week or 10 days or 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And that's not unusual. And you're exactly right. We asked a lot of our citizens who do that. But I do think once people have completed that process, they look back on it and are pleased they did so. I think it's an honorable calling to get to be a citizen judge.
I know in some cases, when during voir dire, and they're asking both the defense and the prosecution are talking to the prospective jurors to see if they may have some prejudices during their case. Have you ever seen anyone that was so obvious that they were trying to get out of jury duty that they would come up with all kinds of excuses, or maybe if it's a death penalty case, say, oh no, I'm totally against the death penalty and all those other things. Can you kind of read through that a little bit?
I think I'm going to plead what I often do in the courtroom. I don't hear everything a lot of times. I've learned that if someone speaks out of turn and they really didn't mean to, in the heat of the moment they said something and got excited, sometimes it's okay to have deaf ears. And I try to make sure I don't let anything go on that's inappropriate. But I think people, would I ever say to you that if someone truly didn't want to serve on a jury, they could walk in and say something in court that would surely get them struck? Mm-hmm. Probably so. But I like to think people are being honest in their convictions and honest. And sometimes people have a real a position that they know that would be an injustice if they served.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a wonderful experience.
It's important to tell the truth no matter what you do.
That's exactly right.
So they know what they're dealing with. Want to let you know that the last part of the show is brought to you by At Home Care. And they're located at 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H. And that's right behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard. And they go into your home and take over the duties that you normally would be doing yourself, and make sure if you've gotten older and maybe you can no longer do it, they're going to make sure that you're still able to stay at home, enjoy a quality of life, And this is 24/7, and they even run errands for you. So that's one responsibility that you would not have to worry about anymore. And if you feel like that that's a need that you're looking at this particular time, give them a call. It's 713-4639, 713-4639, or check them out on the website, www.athomecaretennessee.com. And that's Melissa Warren's business. And call them, and I know you'll be glad you did.
Get a magical deal on fixing your hail-damaged vehicle.
Dent Magic will give you a $100 Visa gift card for Christmas shopping for every repair. Don't wait months to get your car fixed. Dent Magic can get you in this week. Dent Magic will repair your vehicle in 2 days, and they will never drill a hole in your vehicle to access a dent.
They've got an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and will even pay your deductible. Some restrictions apply. Dent Magic, 1 mile west of Coles on Old Fort Parkway in the old fire station. Dent Magic, the industry leader in paintless dent repair.
Visit them on the web
at hailmagic.com.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic is more than just a clinic. It's the doctors you can trust, a technician you can believe in, and a staff member who goes the extra mile. From the time someone walks in our doors, the difference becomes evident. All of our resources are used to improve the healthcare experience of our patients, and we have been a part of Rutherford and surrounding counties for over 60 years. Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
Murfreesboro.
He knows Rutherford County's past, and his wisdom can give good insight into our future. It's the Truman Show. Here again, Truman Jones.
Yeah, Judge Mark Roger, this is so much fun. We could extend this at least another hour or another 2 hours, because dealing with you is such a hoot. And you and I remember, of course you're not as old as I am, but we can remember the days when the courtrooms were such an exciting place, and people would actually go inside the courtroom because there wasn't as much going on back then, and that was kind of a place to be entertained, you might say.
You know, Truman, I believe this happened in Rutherford County, and so for historians out there, if I'm wrong, please let me. It's an honest mistake of the heart. I think there was a time when a jury was coming back to render a verdict, that the bell was rung at the courthouse, and it let everyone know, the citizens know, that a jury verdict was about to be returned. I wish we could go back to those days.
Oh, me too.
Because I do think the courthouse is a fascinating place for humanity and mankind, and I do think that justice is done. Sometimes it takes us days and weeks and months, especially back when I was a lawyer and I lost a jury trial. Mm-hmm. It took me a long time to get over it, but eventually I got over it because I realized, you know, they got it right. Those jurors got it right. It took me a while to accept it. Mm-hmm. And I think that occurs in day-to-day in our judicial system. The jury service and the jury system is so important to our country, but I think you could go to any courthouse in America, and if you just had the time to get into the right courtroom, mm-hmm. It's the best entertainment money could buy, and free, totally free.
One of the things, movies I remember the most, and still one of my favorite movies of all time, is To Kill a Mockingbird.
Sure.
And Atticus Finch.
Right.
And his style and the way he presented himself. Do you ever see that in a courtroom? Because I know that demeanor of an attorney is a very important part
right.
of the trial.
That one of the most scenes I loved is when the little girl Scout was standing in the balcony with mm-hmm. her fellow citizens, and everybody stood, and mm-hmm. she said, "Mr. So-and-so, why is everyone standing?" And he said, "Scout, 'cause your daddy's passing." And mm-hmm. what an honor for a lawyer to be treated that way. That was back when well written mm-hmm. about how the I think that's the role every lawyer ought to aspire to, is to be like Atticus Finch. And to have that kind of character about yourself and demeanor. And we see that from time to time. There are good lawyers in our community, good lawyers in Murfreesboro and Woodbury, Tennessee, that they go to court every day and try to do the right thing and mm-hmm. to represent their clients. And we are all better for that, Truman. We truly are.
We really are. I mean, we're blessed to be in this community. And one thing And we were talking about jars. One thing that really stands out in that book and in the movie was that the jurors did not do their duty because of their prejudices in that particular scene.
Our country's come a long ways over the last several years, and that's the great thing about our jury now. It's the cross-section. Every time I have a jury trial, I usually comment at the close of the trial to the jurors that serve how different the jury, how much different walks of life. You have old, young, educated, uneducated, professionals, non-professionals, and those 12 people make a decision, and usually they get it right. And that's a wonderful testament to the way that system works.
And I think the way that the jurors are treated, that's passed on when they leave. And you see a lot of major cases where the news media will just encircle the jurors, right, and want to know what they said and about their experience there. And you can tell that a lot of them have become emotional, especially if it's a major murder case or something like that. But yet, they still feel stronger and better about the experience that they had because they got to experience it firsthand, where a lot of people really don't know what's going on. And like that movie 12 Angry Men with Henry Fonda, there's a lot that goes on behind the wall with a jury.
And the great thing is I think that we as judges here in the 16th Judicial District really try to explain before the trial begins how long the process is going to be. We don't always get it right, but how many days it's going to take. We try to make sure that their time when they're at the courthouse is well spent. Mm-hmm. If there's something, oftentimes arguments have to come up and be addressed, legal matters during a trial, that we do that after the jury's gone home for the evening, or come in earlier before the jury starts, so that their time is not spent sitting and waiting in some room wondering why are we even here. I think we've really made a conscious effort. We now allow jurors to ask questions. Mm-hmm. That's principally been true in civil cases for a number of years now, and you see some of that being in the criminal field where jurors are allowed to ask questions to make it where they're more involved in the process. Something that we do differently, we used to pick the alternate at the beginning of the trial.
Right.
Well, now we do that at the end of the trial so that you don't know automatically on the front end, well, I'm an alternate, I'm not going to pay any attention. No one knows who the alternate is going to be until the conclusion of the trial. And depending on if you have one or two, they're then drawn and asked to leave and step down. We have a system also where jurors can't be questioned about their service until after the full period of service is completed. And depending upon the jurors, that offers some protection for them when they leave, that they're not going to get a phone call from some lawyer saying, why'd you do what you did? And I think that's helped the system.
That's pretty neat. You know, we're so blessed to have you, Mark.
And well, thank you, Truman.
To have somebody like you that makes the position of judge an honorable position. And we've heard of cases, and I've never seen around here, where you've always heard about a judge that gets road fever and it's more of a power position. It's never been that way to you. It's a service to you, and I really appreciate that. And there's one question I have to ask you before we leave. Who has the record for most points scored in a high school girls game in the state of Mississippi?
Well, if I thought Jean Ann was where she'd call me right now, I'd say Jean Ann Hawkins Rogers, my beautiful wife. She has she scored, and I always tell the story John Hood loves to share it with. I always say Jean Ann scored 62 points, but she'll correct me real quick. It was 65, Truman.
65 points.
And that record's never going to be broken.
No, that's unbelievable. No wonder she's an eye doctor.
She had an eye for the basket.
Yeah. Great show, Mark.
Thank you, Truman. I enjoyed being here.
I really enjoy you. I always do. You need to come back. We do have Ron Fryer and Dan Whittle tomorrow, so it's going to be another great show. Hope everybody has a great day.